Nature Fix is proudly sponsored by Craghoppers, one of the UK's favourite outdoor gear experts. Craghoppers and the National Trust have joined forces to create a collection inspired by nature and designed for life. Sales from the range help to support the National Trust's vital work, restoring some of our incredible natural landscapes, from delicate wetlands to boggy peatlands. Together, we are working to look after nature and care for our landscapes for generations to come. Hello and welcome to Nature Fix with me, Claire Hickenbotham. Every month we take you with us as we meet the people who spend their time outside and join them in a place that most inspires them. Today we're in Banai Brohiniog, or the Brecon Beacons, to meet Emma Colano-Rogers, who had a change of heart really early on in her career and left the job she trained for at uni for one that would have her outside in all weathers. We've met you where, Emma?
We are just on the edge of the Brecon Beacons. We're on the eastern side of Carmarthenshire County, and we're about to go and try and find the Lady of the Lake. We're about as rural as it gets here, but for me, that's ideal.
The hills are big, aren't they? The valleys are big, and the skies, therefore, are big. We've got a tumbling cascade of water bobbling over the rocks next to us.
And it gets so loud, it's only when you walk higher up the hills and you don't hear the river anymore, you really get the whole silence of the rural area. Some people really struggle with just pure silence, so for the people that come and visit areas like this, the river can kind of be that white noise machine for them. It can be quite calming.
I'm already starting to get out of breath. We are going up.
Yes, which is pretty much every single walk in the Beacons area, you park your car and then it's just this straight vertical climb up, and then you have the views, and then it's the straight vertical climb back down.
So you're newly into the job of a ranger at the National Trust?
Yes, in September I started as an apprentice ranger, so I didn't have any previous experience. I started my career as an illustrator and then moved into design work and just realised it was not for me. I'd always get this feeling on a Sunday night of that's my free time over, and now I've got five more days of work ahead of me, and yeah, I would just get the Sunday blues knowing I was going to have to go back into this office environment, especially when the sun was shining. That's the last place I wanted to be. So I started volunteering with conservation charities, and then this apprenticeship role came up, and the only criteria they needed was that you didn't have any previous experience. I just feel like I found my place. Come from a job that you know fundamentally is just the wrong fit for you into a job where every morning you wake up and you look forward to what you have in store. Like, it doesn't even feel like a job.
So you've not done this walk before up to the lake, have you?
No, this will be my first time up here as well, and I'm absolutely just amazed by the scenery. Like, the whole track we're walking along on the way up, there's just this stunning river running alongside it. We've just come to the bits now where it looks like there's tiny waterfalls cascading down into it, and I'm just, yeah, completely enamoured by it.
I think the Brecon Beacons is quite well known for its waterfalls, isn't it?
Yeah, waterfall country. There's rivers, there's waterfalls, there's valleys. Whether you go to Penavan, where you'll maybe see thousands of people in a day, or somewhere like here where I think we've seen about three people altogether so far, it's just, yeah, whatever you need, it's got it to offer.
You've mentioned the Lady of the Lake.
Yes. Within Welsh culture, the folklore and the myths and the legends shape a lot of the history and a lot of the modern culture today as well.
And is it something you're exposed to from a very young age in Wales?
Yes and no. I think everyone that went to a Welsh primary school probably knows stories like Beth Gellert. I think it depends as well where you're brought up. I know people brought up in the valleys might have much more of a cultural tie to Wales, whereas for me it came a lot later on in life. I kind of got taught Welsh in school, and because it was forced on me, I had this reluctance to embrace it. And it was only in my later life where I wanted to explore more of my roots. I started learning Welsh myself. That's when the real passion for understanding my culture came from.
So Emma, as we were just walking up a little bit of the path, we're sniffing a bit. And I didn't bring a tissue. But you told me that
Rangers don't need tissues.
So it's a rather gross realisation I had probably on day two of my time as a ranger, is that no one takes tissues around with them, because when you are out in nature, combination of the cold, the pollen and everything else going on, you constantly have a runny nose. So all my fellow rangers have tried convincing me that the only thing I need to do is snot rocket all of my snot out and I'll never need to carry a tissue again.
I've never heard of the ranger's secret snot rocket.
Anyone can do it. All they need to do is cover one of their nostrils and send one sharp puff of air out of one of their nostrils to clear it, and then do the same on the other side. And I suppose it's saving the world one tissue at a time as well.
I think you can gross out now knowing that you're saving the planet.
Yeah, I'm still not quite there myself, but maybe one day.
So do you think we're nearly there?
Yeah, so we kind of verge around the corner and then you can see where the sun is reflecting off that one part of the hill over there. I'm hoping it'll be this wow moment where it just presents itself to us. We must be close.
How many steps do you reckon until we can see it?
10. Massive steps.
That's my 10. Have you done 10?
I've done 10.
Can you see it?
Almost. Here it is.
Oh, wow. It's got ever such a slight volcanic crater look to it, hasn't it?
Absolutely. The hill directly behind it must have an 80 degree decline on it. So there's just this dramatic drop from the top of that ridge down into the lake.
And then the other half of the crater just opens up to the valley, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, look at that view. Those extra 10 steps and yeah. It's changed again, hasn't it?
I know, with every step it changes so much.
So what's the Lady of the Lake story that involves this lake that we're at today?
There was a man called Gwyn who lived on a farm with his mother. He often had to take his cattle to graze, and he was enjoying some rye bread and cheese when he noticed there was a woman on the other side of the lake almost appearing to float. She was ethereal, she seemed to possess this supernatural power, and he was completely enamoured to the point where he couldn't speak, and the only thing he could do was extend this crusty old loaf to her. So she floated across the lake, and when she saw it was just some barley bread, she laughed and she dove into the lake. So he went home and told his mother what he saw. And she thought that was because the bread was too old and too crusty. I'll make you a softer loaf of bread. So he went back. She came a lot closer to him this time, and he was able to see the green and brown specks of her eyes. This time she accepted the new loaf of bread. And he took her hand, asking for her to marry him. She said, "I will marry you on two conditions. The first condition is that you never reveal to anyone where I've come from or the origins of my powers. And the second is that if you ever strike me 3 times, I will leave without saying a word and you will never see me again." So Nelvech, Gwyn and all their cattle left the lake, and they had a really happy, successful life and 3 strong, healthy sons. And this lasted for years until he struck Nelvech. After this, his temperament did improve, but he struck Nelvech for a second time. Unfortunately, it didn't take long before he struck her a 3rd time. She was already leaving for the door, and when he got to the foot of the lake, she dove into the lake, and he went mad with grief. His sons were equally overcome with grief. A few years after their father's passing, their mother appeared to them one final time. She said that she only had 1 day with them, and she set a mission on them to be the healers of mankind. She taught them herbalism and the healing properties of plants and wanted them to spread this knowledge with the local community and pass it down through generations. And then she embraced each of them, returned to the lake and was never seen again.
And does the Lady of the Lake ever reappear?
Not as far as I know. It says that because she was an immortal being, her love and grief won't diminish or fade. She'll have to live with that for eternity.
Well, she picked a very nice spot to have eternal life, didn't she?
Yes.
Let's go and have another sneak peek of it.
Where we are now, the sun is right above it and it's glistening, like the whole lake is glistening.
I mean, we've walked up here with the sound of the stream, and it's a very different sound to a lake lapping against a shore, isn't it?
This one for me is kind of meditative and it's very calming. And
do you find that as part of your ranger job there is a kind of meditative quality to the work that you're doing?
Yeah, 100%. The fact that you're doing a task and then you maybe take a little break and you are in the middle of the most beautiful landscape you could imagine is the first thing that I just find very good for the soul. And then the second is that the work you're actually doing is going into conservation and preserving the landscape. It's the perfect balance because I get to experience the rural countryside in my job, but then I get to go back and be in the hustle and bustle of the city in Cardiff. And I think if I just had one or if I just had the other, my lifestyle wouldn't work. It was scary making this change. It took years of deliberating. I knew I wasn't happy, and I think that was my driving force, is that I knew fundamentally there was a very big issue in my lifestyle and it was affecting my ability to go out and socialise, because I had anxiety at times, because I had that crisis of what am I doing with my life? I'm not in the right career, I'm not on the right path. It was a really big decision to make the career change, but one I'm so glad I did. So when people say to me, oh, I'm very envious of your job, I think part of it, they just think I'm always out on a sunny day, I'm always in the hills, and that is great. But I think part of it's because they're not happy in their job. And I always say to them, you know, if you're not happy, are there things you can change about it? Is this temporary? Do you think it will get better? And if the answer is fundamentally no, then I would just encourage them gently to change certain aspects of their life to make their happiness a priority.
I think at this point we should say that not all of your ranger days are out in the sunshine.
I have had ranger days where it's taken a considerable amount of time to regain the feeling in my fingers. I've had ranger days where I've fallen into bogs and had to be pulled out by my rucksack. But they have all been so unique and so rewarding and so different.
We've left the lady and her lake behind, Emma. We're heading back down now. We've got a lot more stories we could go into, but there's a couple more I think that you really like.
There is one story called the Radnor Forest Dragon. It's essentially about a dragon that would terrorise the local community. It would eat the livestock, it would burn down its infrastructure, and it was the angel Saint Michael who came and slayed the dragon and became this massive hero figure for the village. The villagers built 5 churches around the dragon to contain its body. And each of these churches was built on one of the pre-existing mounds of the landscapes. The legend has it that if any of these churches were to be destroyed, the dragon would reawaken and continue to cause terror over the villagers. This story is great because it ties into the natural landscape. There's some old remains of an Iron Age hill fort called Llandegli Rocks, and it's on the edge of a ridge. And the way the rocks have kind of fallen over the years, a lot of the locals say that it's the long spine of the dragon. I always like it when you hear a story and it's got a real location to it that you can go and kind of imagine this all unfolding. It just draws people back into that cultural history, their heritage and the history of Wales. And storytelling is one of the oldest forms of passing down documents and important information through generations, especially with kids, to interact them into these historical fables and myths. It is just going to give them that greater sense of understanding the culture in which they've come from.
When we first started out this morning, Emma, you mentioned in passing Beth Gellert. I think most people do know the story. It's a very well-known one. But I think you should tell it anyway. But I hesitate to ask you to tell it because it's always one that makes me so sad.
Yeah, it's quite a tragic one, this one. So you have the Prince of Gwynedd, also known as Llywelyn the Great, and his trusty noble hound, Gellert. The prince left to do a hunt one day and left his newly born heir, his son, in the capable hands of Gellert. And when Prince Llywelyn left, a wolf had entered into the castle. there was an immense fight with lots of blood, and Gellert actually managed to kill the wolf. During the chaos, the son's crib had been tipped over, and moments later, upon hearing Prince Llewellyn return from his hunt, Gellert bound out to greet his master, and Prince Llewellyn was completely shocked by the sight of his hound covered in blood, and immediately ran to see if his son was okay. And when he entered the son's bedroom, he realised that the cot had been overturned, and in a moment of pure rage, he plunged his sword into Gellert's heart. And as he did this, he heard a faint cry from underneath the cot. And when he picked the cot up, his son was there completely unharmed, and lying next to him was the dead wolf, covered in blood from Gellert. And after realising that he'd jumped to the complete wrong conclusion, the prince picked up Gellert, took his body to the edge of the castle grounds and buried him so that the community and villagers would know he was a hero and come to pay his respects. And whilst he was really relieved that his son was safe and sound, it's said that from that day on, Prince Llewellyn never smiled again. So Beth Gellert literally translates to the grave of Gellert. Beth Gellert is up in Eryri in Snowdonia, and if you go there you can actually see a stone that's been erected to commemorate the grave of Gellert. I actually went up there last summer and it brought the whole story to life, made it feel real.
We're nearly back at the car park, Emma. We've gone past the very noisy waterfalls. Thank you ever so much for taking me on this walk.
It's been a new one for me, and it's been my absolute pleasure to take you on the walk and tell you more about some Welsh folklore.
Well, and about you as well, and about how being out in nature is, it brings you so much joy and comfort, I suppose.
It's the antidote to life, nature. It just helps. Being out in nature just helps clear your head of certain stresses and gives you the space to order your thoughts and make a little plan of action of what you want out of your life and how you can get it.
Thanks for listening to Nature Fix. We'll be back next month with a new episode. Why not give us a follow on your favourite podcast app? And if you've got the time, leave us a review. Bye for now. Nature Fix is proudly sponsored by outdoor gear experts, Craghoppers. Heading out for adventure? Discover Craghoppers' National Trust range of clothing and accessories. Inspired by nature and designed to last, each item in the collection comes with a guarantee for life. And with every purchase, you're helping to support the Trust's vital work restoring our natural landscapes. Get ready for your journey outdoors at craghoppers.com/national-trust.